FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is March 9th, 2016. Well, it looks like happy days are here again. The Dow is up and oil is up and they're knocking down precious metals, but don't be deterred. Andrew Hoffman's here to explain to you everything that's going on and you're going to be amazed. Andy, hey.
Yes, I don't know if you'll be amazed, but as far as precious metals go, when we say they're knocking them down, they're trying to knock them down. I mean, keep in mind that we've had this surge from 1050 back in the middle of December up to a high of 1279 last Friday, and actually yesterday and the day before it was 1275. Mm-hmm. So being at 1253 right now, after again coming back from another vicious cartel attack that started last night and is just been unrelenting, but we've come back and we've rejected 1250 on the downside, just like we rejected 1200 several times before it went up. And again, you know, this is the death throes. This is the end game here. This is throwing the kitchen sink at the problem at the very end. And that's why they've orchestrated this quantitatively, the biggest short squeeze in history. And it's been focused around, of course, last to go markets like the Dow and yes, crude oil. And the reason with crude oil being because every year, and I've been talking about this forever, miners, oil companies have to do their year-end accounting reserve adjustments. The accountants come in and value them. And if we were sitting at $26 per barrel oil, probably half the oil companies on the planet would have been bankrupt. So they've orchestrated this squeeze up to 38, which is still a horrible number, as bad as you can be, except for 26, to, you know, kind of modestly make things a little better. The problem is the news coming out, such as the inventory builds, production increases, Cushing at an all-time high inventory that just came out now. All these rumors of production cuts and freezes and rising demand at the end of the year, it's all been refuted. The point is the fundamentals are going to reassert themselves. Just like the fundamentals for gold and silver have reasserted themselves. And again, you know, we're talking the biggest equity short squeeze in history, which has taken the Dow up 1,500 points in 3 weeks. And gold is sitting near its highs. What does that tell you about new demand that's coming in for it? Which is what we're going to be talking about, the institutional demand that has finally returned.
Yeah. And that's been absent now for years, but it appears it is back and it's just getting started.
Right. And look, we know that the central banks have been buying. I mean, well, the ones in the West have been dishoarding the fumes that they have left, like the U.S., whatever, their swaps and leases and double counting transactions to keep the game going. And Canada selling their last 2 tons. And, you know, the Germans, who knows what's up with their gold that they can never get back when the GLD supposedly buys as much gold in a month as Germany has received in 2 years from the Federal Reserve. And I don't believe the GLD could buy that gold, by the way. They just say they do, et cetera. So the point is, we know the central banks are buying. Even the numbers that come out from central banks, forget the stuff they do covertly, like the Chinese, are showing that 2015 was the most that they've ever bought. Koos Jansen's numbers show that the gold imports from China were at a record high in 2015. In India, they were nearly at a record high, but they probably were when you include the black market that's been created after they created those 10% tariffs a year and a half ago. In silver, he put out numbers which even shocked me. India's silver imports last year blew away the record level, and that's with the 10% tariff. Really? Imports. You look at the U.S. Mint, the Canadian Mint, record levels this year. U.S. Mint is on a pace 40% above last year's record level, and that's with allocation, et cetera, et cetera. So we know that retail is buying. We know the central banks are buying. The one thing that's been missing, and it harkens back to the Silver 2016 Outlook webinar that we held January 26th with David Morgan and Chris Marchese of the Silver Investor. .com. And he basically said that, yeah, retail has been soaring and central bank has been gradually rising, although I think it's been more than gradually rising. The one thing that's been flat has been institutional demand since, you know, 2011, since the peak in dollar price gold and silver, when the cartel came in with their point of no return attacks and started attacking 24/7. And yes, the places you've seen them the most have been mining shares. And I'm not talking about little mining shares. I'm talking about the big cap mining shares have been destroyed for years because there's been no interest in them. And the other thing, which I predicted back in, I think it was early 2013, were the closed-end bullion funds, the Central Fund of Canada, the Sprott funds. They, you know, the cartel started naked shorting them so that they would go below net asset value and not do deals. And they traded at huge discounts for many years. That's where you see the institutional demand, mining shares, ETFs like GLD, and the closed-end funds. So lo and behold, you know, I wrote about that maybe a month ago, and sure enough, first you see the GLD having this record amount of buying. They've now had an increase in their holdings, assuming that they're not lying, because I don't know if that gold is actually available, but let's say it's true. 40 days in a row, the GLD has bought gold. 40 days in a row. They bought so much gold. It's like I said, it's more gold than the Germans have been asking for and not received in the last 2 years. And then look what happened last week with the IAU. IAU is like the little brother to GLD. It's the same exact product, essentially, except it's smaller, but it's pretty big. It's got $8 billion in assets. Well, anyway, what happened with them is it took them 10 years to acquire $8 billion worth of gold. And in the first 2 months of this year, they acquired $1.6 billion. So they increased their holdings by almost 25% just in 2 months because of the massive institutional buying. Because that's what institutional buyers do, like hedge funds and money managers. They don't buy the physical stuff. They don't understand that their mandate is to buy paper assets. So they've been swarming into GLD and IAU. And in fact, IAU had to temporarily suspend issuance because they went over their SEC allocated allotment of shares and they had to apply for more.
Correct.
And as it turns out, by the way, they were selling shares that they didn't have, kind of like naked shorting, but that's another part of it. But the point is IAU and GLD had massive explosions in their demand. And then you look at the mining shares, which anyone can see, have had a massive run. The Huey is up, I think, from 100 to 173 as we speak right now in just 2 months. That's evidence of institutional buying. That's not because someone knows something. It means that the big buyers in the United States and Western Europe are looking for paper proxies to profit on because they think gold and silver are going higher. And the third thing, which I've been talking about forever now, have been these closed-end funds, which are, to me, the most important of all of them. Because when it comes to GLD and IAU, again, I'm not sure I believe that that gold is actually available for them to buy. It is probably some truth to it, but I don't believe that they could have bought that much gold, just like I don't believe there's enough silver out there for the SLV to buy as much as they say they're buying without massively moving the price in the market. But anyway, the closed-end funds is something we can definitely get our hands around, particularly because the PSLV and the FIS, PHYS, are run by Eric Sprott. And as I wrote in yesterday's Admiral Sprott rides again, because I coined that term Admiral Sprott back in 2012. Those funds now are on the verge of doing massive deals, which are going to cause major, major pain for the cartel. And, you know, I know I'm rambling, but this is important stuff. Way back when PSLV, the Silver Trust, went public in October of 2010, silver was $23 an ounce. Just doing two or three deals, I think that was the biggest catalyst for silver going to $50 an ounce.
Right. I remember
that. Now, the PSLV is up to a 4% premium. It was trading at a discount for years, a 4% premium. They've done deals for FIS at 2 or 3%. So I believe that we may be within days, weeks, or even days of a deal, assuming that premium holds up, which I believe it will. And trust me, the cartel is doing everything they can to keep that premium down, and they're having trouble doing so. So again, I think that there's major things going on in the institutional sector. I think it's going to be the proverbial straw that broke the cartel's back. And I'm really excited. I mean, look at this morning. Again, they attacked and attacked and attacked. And here we are. Silver's taking off and gold's about to go positive. They cannot keep these prices down. They tried to hold it down to 1200. They couldn't do it. You know, 1200 used to be the line in the sand on the upside. Well, then it became the support level. And now I think 1250 is becoming a support level. And don't forget, tomorrow is the big ECB meeting when they're expected to expand NERP and QE.
Which is why you really need to attend the event that Andy and I are holding with Miles Franklin. It's going to be in Fort Lauderdale, on April 21st. Make sure you sign up for a newsletter on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We'll be sending out the invitation again. If for some reason you can't make it, it'll be available via webcast live. You'll be able to ask questions and hopefully get all your questions answered. Nominal cost if you're attending, you're looking at like less than $30, includes dinner. I mean, and you're going to be entertained, maybe not quite as much as watching a Trump news conference, Andy, but they will be entertained.
No, I think I disagree. I think you'll be more entertained. First of all, they have lots of Trump conferences. There's enough of those to go around. Yeah, this is a one-time event, and it's a worldwide event because we're offering it over in the web. Yeah. I mean, Andy and I can answer questions that you would never imagine people would even be asking, let alone get the real answers. He knows as much about the bullion industry as I know about the bullion markets.
God, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, the questions that we get are so diverse from so many areas, and we'll answer them all. And it's fun. There's some fun stories. You're with like-minded people. It's going to be going out over the internet around the world. I'm really looking forward to this event.
Oh, it's going to be great. And like I said, it's April 21st. 6:30 p.m. It's going to be at the Sheraton on Cypress Creek in Fort Lauderdale, a couple minutes from the airport. If enough of you attend and write, we'll do a little private meetup for FSN community members. But either way, it'll be open to everybody. But I want to meet as many of you as I can who are going to be there. I've gotten so many emails from you out there, and you can't even believe how many people are interested in this. By far, the most most excited event as far as people wanting to be there. It's amazing. You know, the timing could not be better.
I mean, we've had the rest of the world's been in a bull market for many years, and they certainly want to hear about what's going on. But, you know, this is the rebirth of the bull market of gold and silver here in the United States. But it's been four miserable, manipulated years. And I don't look forward to good years going forward, but I certainly look forward to good years for gold and silver after all we've been through. And, you know, for all the people that have hung in there and stuck to their guns, good for you, because you're about to be rewarded for all the pain. And look, I mean, this is an inflection point in history. And that's why getting information, as good information as you can, as much information you can in a timely fashion, is so important. I need to get information. I find myself reading and listening to more stuff than I've ever done before, just trying to keep up with all the changes, because I really believe that we're living through what's going to be looked back as an inflectionary point in human history.
I completely agree with you, because it's just like the election. It's so obvious that it's all unsustainable, and how much longer it can continue, that's really the question, not that it's going to end. You know, we don't know the when, but we do know that we're getting closer to it than we've been before. And that's why you really got to be prepared, because it's insane, Andy.
Yeah. it leaves me speechless for once.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And I, seeing things here that I never thought I would live to see. And we're like in this alternate state of reality here, it seems.
Like last night, I saw the Japanese 30-year bond yield fell to 0.47. 0.47. It's completely illiquid. There's literally no buyers in this market except the government. And now the 30-year bond is about to go negative there. And they have another upcoming meeting. And I think given what's going on there with the economy falling further and what the ECB is going to do, don't be surprised that by the time that meeting is done, their 30-year bond is in negative territory. And don't be surprised if every bond in Europe is trading at negative yields at some point in the not too distant future, which is, of course, going to translate into negative yields for bank accounts, brokerage accounts, every account, pension fund accounts. You may get a negative return on your pension fund. That is, if you ever get your pension. Yeah. The negative rates is going to come. And just because they goose the stock market for a couple of weeks to get this historic short squeeze, which will only come back down and result in more pain, it hasn't changed the fact that the economy of the world is getting worse by the day. And that the reasons that they started talking about cashless societies and negative interest rates a month ago haven't changed. They are going to do it in some way, shape, or form, depending on the pace of collapse over the coming months, years, you pick it. But it's not going to be too long. I mean, this is the time to protect yourself.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, it just seems like it's so unsustainable. And how we got to this point, how we're here, I just shake my head, because it's just amazing that we could be at a place a time in history like this?
Well, the way we got here is obviously because history rhymes, but the way we got here specifically is because we went off the gold standard.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it reminds me, today's article, everyone can read it. It's coming out in a few hours. It's called "What Does the Gold Silver Ratio Tell Us?" And basically, I wrote it because the sovereign man, that Simon Black guy, sure, wrote this article saying it's saying something because it only goes up in times of crisis throughout history, the gold silver ratio. And he shows this chart and he says the only times it's ever been over 80, as it is now, are the 2008 crisis, World War II, and the Gulf War. And I looked at that chart and I'm going, wow, I agree with almost everything this guy ever writes, but this is kind of crazy. I do agree we're in a crisis, but there's a reason why the gold silver ratio is over 80. And it's not because of a crisis. First of all, World War II, gold prices were fixed. So how can you even calculate what the quote ratio was? It was a fixed gold price. Gulf War, I don't even think that counts in the top 100 events in the last century as meaningful. In fact, I put a chart of the Dow going all the way back. You don't even see the Gulf War. So that was just, I mean, honestly, I wasn't even around to know what was going on, but it was trading dynamics. It had nothing to do with the Gulf War. And then, of course, you had the crisis of 2008 where they smashed the price of silver down to $9. But what he doesn't write or understand is the fact that the price of physical silver didn't go down during the 2008 crisis. There were 100% premiums during that time. You could not buy silver, and you could not buy silver for anything more than twice the prevailing cartel orchestrated price. And now what you have, you don't have 100% premiums, but you do have this all-time high ratio, which is really insane because right now we unequivocally have the highest demand in history. In fact, the demand for silver right now is three times higher in the world than it was in the 2008 crisis. It's three times higher in India. It's three times higher at the U.S. Mint. It's three times higher at the Royal Canadian Mint. It's three times higher than that extreme crisis point, which at the time was the high in history. You also have the fact that production is unequivocally has peaked and is nowhere to go but down. And of course, the inventories are gone. There's only 25 million ounces of inventory on the entire COMEX right now, et cetera. So, and of course, the money printing is taking off. It's at an all-time high, going exponential. So the reason why it's 80-1 now is because they know, the cartel knows how little silver out there, how tight it is. That's why we had this massive, massive shortage in the retail industry last summer, and it wasn't even during a crisis, and why we're going to have one shortly. They are so terrified that that's why yesterday you saw silver fall 25 cents in 1 second. Remember what was it led two Fridays ago on the 26th of February when silver fell 40 cents in one day for absolutely no reason? They're trying to take sentiment away, but all they're doing is driving more physical demand. This is the death throes here. And I wrote at the end, if there's one thing that I'm confident about in my 27 years of business experience and 14 in precious metals, is that 80-1 or 82-1 where we are now in the gold silver ratio is not a sustainable level.
No, can't be. I mean, what's it going to do? Get up to 100?
I mean, if it gets to 100, there won't be any silver out there. There'll be the same thing. Those ratios are meaningless when the paper market dislocates from the physical market, which is exactly what happened back in 2008. For all intents and purposes, this is the all-time high of the actual gold to silver price ratio of what you would pay for it. So again, it's incredible to think you'd have, I mean, what market since 2008 in the entire world has had a tripling of demand since 2000? I mean, the world's at its all-time worst economy right now. Unequivocally, the worst economy we've been since at least the Great Depression right now. And yet silver demand has tripled. And it's the only asset that hasn't gone up in price. What does that tell you about whether it's traded fairly or not? And what's going to happen, considering that the ramifications of pushing the price down have been plunging inventories, record high demand, and falling supply?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing set of factors, circumstances that are about to converge. And it's going to be amazing when it happens, just like our event on April 21st in Fort Lauderdale. Make sure you check it out. Send me an email. We're trying to get the link up on the site now, but just sign up on either newsletter, Andy's newsletter at milesfranklin.com. Get his daily missive. You'll get the link to sign up right away, or just go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com, sign up there, send me an email, khl@carrylutz.com. I will get you the info, and it's going to be an amazing event. Andy, that's it for now.
Talk to you next week.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.